desperately wicked. What does that mean? That means your own heart can fool you. You think you know your heart, and your heart will tell you this and tell you that. Have you ever gotten some counsel from your heart and you thought that was it? And not long thereafter, your heart changed your mind. Let me take you back to some younger days first before I walk you any further. You remember when you were a puppy? I'm talking about puppy love now. You were young. You thought you knew. You thought you knew what love was all about. And some older person knew better, tried to tell you better, but no, you knew better. Now, you got to realize that there are stages in life, and at certain stages, you only know certain things. Now, grant you, even though the puppy love had not yet grown to full mature love, the love is real to the puppy. But what you've got to recognize is the puppy does not have experience in this area, and the puppy can only speak for itself and not the other puppy that it's in love with. People can say, "I love you," and mean many things. I love you as a friend. I love you as a brother or sister in Christ. I love you as a playmate. I love you perhaps as a boyfriend or girlfriend or mate for life itself. But until they are articulated to the greatest degree and detail where you know what they're talking about, your heart can make you believe something that is not so. I know she loves me. Look how she look at me. She's looking at you because you're dressed like a clown. You look like a fool. You don't know. Your heart will tell you all kinds of things. And because it's your heart telling you this, you think your heart's not going to fool you. But your heart is deceitful above all things. And I mean, we can go on from everything to what people tell. You know, one of the other things that I can't get over is people have mirrors most times at their homes, and they get dressed and they know how they look, and somebody will see them knowing that they are not dressed to the nines and tell them, "Ooh, whoa, you know you some clean. You casket clean. You sharper than a tag." On and on and on. And listen, it's one thing to let them fool you, but it's a whole nother thing to let you fool you. Now, it may not be the best out there, but maybe that's the best you had. But you ought to at least have sense enough to know that. And these are simple, small illustrations, but it grows to every situation that faces. Our hearts can fool us. How can we keep it from fooling us? One, by filling our hearts with the content of God's word. The proper content produces proper character. The proper character produces proper consequences. Now, when you recognize that you can't have the proper consequences without the proper character, and you can't have the proper character without the proper content, and you can't have the proper content unless it comes from the word, the written, divinely inspired word of God. It's from that word that we get instructions. It's from that word that we get enlightenment. It's from that word that we get understanding. It's from that word we understand the revealed mind of God. It's from that word we get instructions from God and avoid destructions from man. It's from that word we have God speaking to our hearts and our spirit man and leading us in the way that follows after Christ his son. The word. If your heart is not filled with the word, it will be filled with a word. Word? Yeah, word. But that don't mean that's a word from the Lord. And some of us don't understand that man's word and God's word many times are two very different words. Trust God's word. And then three, if you play the fool, you don't have to stay the fool. Help me on this last point. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you play the fool, you don't have to stay the fool. Now listen, this is important because again, some of you won't ever believe that you ever were a fool. That show you right now, you're a fool. Why? Because there is no person on earth who has not at one time or another been a fool in their lives. But the real fool is the fool who does not recognize that they are a fool. And they continue in foolish ways. And my brothers and sisters, listen, God doesn't have much to do at all with fools. Y'all remember the story I talked about in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 20? When Jesus was telling the parable about the rich man, whose ground produced, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And then he went on to say, he said this, this will I do. I will tear down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But the next verse was in the Bible. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? And then it says something that brings us into the text. Verse 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So is he. So is he what? A fool. You stacking and storing and laying aside this and that for a rainy day and for retirement and all of this. Don't you know God can let you lay it up and then take you away from it and leave it here and let somebody else enjoy it? Don't you know the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? Don't you know God has got this thing fixed? You, my brothers and my sisters, need to know that that man had opportunity after opportunity to turn his thought patterns around. There's no family mentioned in the text. There are no friends mentioned in the text. There's not the Heavenly Father mentioned in the text. It was just him, himself and himself all wrapped around him. And he missed God and all that he had worked for. God gave it to somebody else. Just because you played a fool don't mean you have to stay a fool. It's important to recognize, brothers and sisters, that in this life, in each life, some rain must fall. But what is good is to understand that God knows what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and forever. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Put your hand in the hand of the man who holds tomorrow. And you'll discover that that man has all power in his hand. Just because you play the fool don't mean you have to remain a fool. I want to share this story I've shared with you before. There was this young man who had grown up with no mother and a godly father. And it was at his birth that the Lord took his mother and left his father to rear him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that old man gave that boy everything he had to come up the way God would have him come up. And he brought him to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and church on Sundays. And that boy knew the Lord for himself. He graduated from high school and was getting ready to go to college. And when he told his father he wanted to go to school out of state, the father said, "Well, it's your choice. But all I tell you is, make sure you take the Lord Jesus along with you." And the boy said, "Daddy, I'm gonna take Jesus with me. I'm gonna keep Jesus by my side." But you know, sometime when young folk get away from home training, just like the prodigal son, and have the ability to make their own choices and do their own thing, sometime they don't do what's right. And for four long years, that boy didn't call back home. That boy did not communicate with his father. And then finally, he came home looking different, walking different, talking different, with a degree behind his name. He sat down there as the father was excited and said, "I want you to tell me all about your experiences." And they sat down on the couch for hours, and the old man was in his rocking chair, and he listened to that boy tell him about his experiences from his freshman year all the way to his senior year. And then finally, the old man said, "Son, we've been talking for many hours now, and I haven't heard you one time say anything about Jesus." The boy looked at him and said, "Daddy, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up, because while I was away at school, I learned that there's no such thing as God, that God was a figment of the white man's imagination to bring the slaves under mental and moral control. I realize, Father, that God is not real." The old man looked at the boy and said, "Son, I don't believe you said that. How can you say God is not real? I don't know how many times we didn't have food to put on the table. And I told you to set the table. And I went in my room and I called up on God. And by the time I got through praying,